So Mark chapter 9, verse 14 to verse 32, and that's on page 1013 in our Bibles here in the church. So Jesus has been transfigured before three of his disciples, and they have come down from the mountain. When they came to the other disciples, they saw a large crowd around them, and the teachers of the law arguing with them. As soon as all the people saw Jesus, they were overwhelmed with wonder and ran to greet him. "What are you arguing with them about?" he asked. A man in the crowd answered, "Teacher, I brought you my son who is possessed by a spirit that has robbed him of speech. Whenever it seizes him, it throws him to the ground. He foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth, and becomes rigid. I asked your disciples to drive out the spirit, but they could not." "O unbelieving generation," Jesus replied, "how long shall I stay with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring the boy to me." So they brought him. When the spirit saw Jesus, it immediately threw the boy into a convulsion. He fell to the ground and rolled around, foaming at the mouth. Jesus asked the boy's father, "How long has he been like this?" "From childhood," he asked. "It has often thrown him into fire or water to kill him. But if you can do anything, take pity on us and help us." "If you can," said Jesus, "everything is possible for him who believes." Immediately the boy's father exclaimed, "I do believe. Help me overcome my unbelief." When Jesus saw that a crowd was running to the scene, he rebuked the evil spirit. "You deaf and mute spirit," he said, "I command you, come out of him and never enter him again." The spirit shrieked, convulsed him violently, and came out. The boy looked so much like a corpse that many said, "He's dead." But Jesus took him by the hand, lifted him to his feet, and he stood up. After Jesus had gone indoors, his disciples asked him privately, "Why couldn't we drive it out?" And he replied, "This kind can only come out by prayer." And it's that verse in particular which we are going to be thinking about together. The challenge, it's one of our values as a church, being faithful in prayer. And just to pick out a few things, notice first of all that this is prayer in the context of mission. So Jesus and the three disciples, his inner group, Peter, James, and John, are up the mountain, and they are worshipping God, and they are contemplating Jesus. And that is a really important dimension of prayer. We were created to glorify our God, to enjoy his presence. And so we need to go to the mountain and we need to contemplate his glory. We need to wonder at the brilliant, blazing brightness that comes from the Lord Jesus. But Jesus leads them down the mountain into actually quite a dark and difficult place. He leads them into mission. There is glory on the mountain, but there is glory in the valley as well. And so we are encouraged and challenged about prayer in the context of mission. We are called to be God's missionary people, and we're called to be people of prayer. And you notice as well that this is prayer that is spiritual warfare. There is evil around and everybody is confused. The devil is at work and Jesus comes and there is a real power encounter. But it is very obviously spiritual warfare. And we just need in the rational West to take a moment to allow this to sink in and to shape our worldviews and to shape our approach to prayer, because so often I think we don't recognize it. This is from Tim Keller, the quotation that's on the screen. It's a little bit small, so I'll read it out. Tim is a wonderful Christian leader, and he's not given to flights of fancy. He is radical, but he is sane, and he is resolutely biblical. And this is what he says about this passage. Mark takes the existence of demonic activity, of a continued battle against evil, personal, supernatural beings, as a self-evident aspect of reality, a fact of life. We can see that here. He doesn't explain, he doesn't sort of put in a bracket and say, well, you know, this may seem a bit strange to us, but you know, let's think about this. He assumes that this is the reality. He assumes that there is oppression, possession that is taking place, and that there is a spiritual battle that is going on. Tim Keller continues, Paul says in Ephesians 6 and elsewhere that we are all fighting demonic principalities all the time. Remember that even Jesus was not immune to these attacks. We read early on in the book of Mark that just after his baptism, Jesus was in the desert 40 days being tempted by Satan. And so we need to recognize this. We need to reckon with this. And it is something that should drive us to prayer. Prayer that God would work. Prayer that the light of the world, the Lord Jesus, would come and work and would push back the darkness, would dispel the darkness. It is a spiritual battle that we are in, and we cannot engage without prayer. Jesus makes that very explicit, doesn't he? When the disciples come to him and they say, well, why couldn't we cast it out? What went wrong? Jesus says, this kind can only come out by prayer. And you imagine the disciples trying to cast out this demon without prayer, trying to engage with the situation, and they just have no chance. It's hopeless. It's dangerous. We need to be people who pray. And it's important to get a balance here. There was a way of writing and thinking in Jesus' day, both in the Jewish world and in the wider Greek and Roman world, that put great store by demons and had basically a demonology, a very elaborate way of thinking about demons. So we might talk about a theology of God, an understanding of God. And there were groups of people who sought to understand the demonic world and had a great interest in these things. And they would have told the story by really focusing on the demon. There would have been a lot of speculation. What sort of evil power is this? Where in the hierarchy does it go? And often those accounts were told really without reference to the person who was being oppressed. You know, they were just incidental. It was what was going on that was really important. And Mark doesn't tell it like that. Under the inspiration and the power of the Holy Spirit, there's no particular interest in the demonic world. He doesn't want to give it any more credence than it deserves. He doesn't want to go into it. His focus is on the power of Jesus to set this boy free and the importance of prayer in engaging in spiritual warfare. And there is great concern for the boy and the father. Jesus engages one-to-one with the father, who is caught on the edge between belief and unbelief. I do believe, help my unbelief, he says. He tenderly lifts the boy up from the ground. People think that he's dead, but Jesus in love reaches down to him and lifts him up and sets him on his feet. There is great concern for the people, and the focus is on the power of God, and that is where the focus should be. Nevertheless, there is a reality that is spiritual warfare that we need to reckon with. And so, this kind can only come out by prayer. This is an encouragement and a challenge to be people who are faithful in prayer. It's not that our prayers have a particular power in and of themselves, but we believe that we have a prayer-answering God who loves to hear us when we pray and responds when we do. He doesn't need to. He is the sovereign Lord, as we've already heard in the prayers. He is in control. And yet, the way the dynamic works, again and again in the scriptures and in Christian history, we see that God responds when his people pray. Whether it's Elijah in the Old Testament, whether it's Paul in the New Testament, whether it is a multiplicity of other characters we could mention. And I know that you have seen answers to prayer in your own lives as well. Sometimes we pray for something and God gives us the grace to endure in that situation, and so he doesn't answer the prayer in perhaps the way that we expect or would like. But nevertheless, he answers prayer. My sense as we go into this new term is that there are exciting things ahead. We have a baptism here at Headingley next Sunday morning, and then another baptismal service following on from that. So one on the 22nd and one on the 29th. We have a baptism at Crag, which is Hannah, which is coming up in November. We have another baptism here in December in the morning. And those are only the ones that are planned in so far. That's a really, really exciting thing. We're going to launch Rooted as a gathering, our homeless work, on Tuesday evenings. We are seeing people stepping up for different ministries and missions within the life of the church. And all of this is exciting. But there is likely to be a pushback. Again, without seeing the devil around every corner and in every circumstance, if we recognize the reality of spiritual warfare, we need to be ready. We need to be praying for protection, for the devil to be kept out, for the Holy Spirit to reign supreme, for him to be working in power. We don't need to be afraid, because the devil may be a roaring lion going round looking for people to devour, but God is so much more powerful. He is all present. He is all powerful. He is all seeing. And he is good and gracious and with us. So we don't need to be afraid, but we do need to pray. We remember the word of God. We receive it. This kind can only come out by prayer. And as we look forward into the term that lies ahead, only by prayer would be a good banner heading to have over it. The prayer room working well, it's only by prayer. Baptismal services where God is powerfully present, only by prayer. New people tasting and seeing that the Lord is good, it's only by prayer. New depth, new heart-to-heart engagement with our God. Growth in our small groups. It's only by prayer. And that's the focus on the mission of the gathered church. And I guess that's the special focus this evening. But as we move out into the community in a whole range of different ways, as we pray for God to work in families and homes and workplaces, and as we go beyond to think of our great city and to think of the national situation, again we need to think only by prayer. Yes, we're called to work. Yes, we're called to engage in mission and to reach out. But God says to each one of us this evening, whether it's personal, whether it's church, or whether it's wider, he says only by prayer. Let's pause for a moment together and just reflect quietly on God's words in Mark 9, and especially this phrase, only by prayer. Lord, we thank you and we praise you for this power encounter in your word. Thank you that we see here amidst the mess and confusion of a broken, hurting world, the powers of darkness being pushed back, the light of the world in action, and people being set free. Lord, we pray that it would be so in this place and in the ministry and mission of this church, at Crag, in Bramley, here in Headingley, and wherever you send us as the scattered church during the week. Set people free, set communities free, we pray. And may we always remember this phrase, only by prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.